Welcome to the Discover Strength podcast, where we ditch the fads and bring you the latest research on exercise to help you look and feel your best in a fraction of the time. I'm your host, Logan Emmett-Herlihy, an exercise physiologist with Discover Strength. Let's get into this week's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Discover Strength podcast, season two. I'm your host, Logan Emmett-Herlihy, joined today by none other than the other Logan. Logan Morrison joins us from our St. Louis Park location. Logan, please say hello to everyone, and we'll jump right into it.
Thanks, Logan. Yeah, really excited to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so Logan has his BA in exercise science from Luther College. He's currently taking clients at St. Louis Park, and if you haven't had the opportunity to work out with him, I would highly recommend it. We've got some great topics for you guys today. We're going to be talking about interval training and its effects, and then also VO2 max and all-cause mortality correlation. So some really interesting stuff here. If you are really interested in this topic, I would highly recommend listening to episode 9 with Dr. Martin Gabala and Maria Hauger, one of our other iconic trainers at Discover Strength. But today we're going to kick it off with Logan. Logan, why don't you talk to us about one of these big studies, 56,000 men and women involved, and what the outcomes were when it comes to interval training.
Right. Yeah. So, Ulrich Wisloff study, 56,000, obviously a huge sample size, right? Obviously a lot of participants here. And that just takes away kind of the, you know, the smaller sample sizes, right? Of, you know, 10, 11, 12 people. There's a lot of variance there that you can kind of disregard with such a big sample size. You're getting a vast array of people participating in the study. So, but what they did is looking in the long term over 2 years of one bout of high intensity interval exercise really reduced the risk of dying from cardiovascular disease for the vast majority of these people. So obviously just one bout there. Now more exercise, so doing it two or three times, really had no extra effect in preventing cardiovascular disease. Really what it showed was one bout is all you need to get the maximum amount of benefit for preventing cardiovascular disease.
Yeah, and we'll dive into this a little bit more deeply here, Logan, but just great to start off here. And again, this study, this is right out of the one-minute workout from Martin Gabala's book, talked about 56,000 men and women, and it was actually over the course of 16 years where they looked at a single bout of HIIT, high intensity interval exercise, and again, associated with a huge decrease in cardiovascular disease. So even just one workout a week in this high intensity training style can have such a profound impact on cardiovascular disease risk markers. Now, talk to us a little bit about, you sort of touched on this, why is this huge sample size so important as opposed to a lot of studies we see where there's maybe just 10, 12, 15 people involved? And again, the length of the study too. Why are those things so important for actually seeing these outcomes?
So one big reason is you take away the potential outliers, right? So if you have a smaller sample size, it's, you know, one outlier, two outliers are going to have a more profound effect. And in such a big sample size here where, you know, you may have, you know, dozens of people who are outliers one way or the other. But in terms of the relative percentage to the rest of the population being studied here, those just have less of an effect on what the study actually, you know, it makes the study more reliable in a sense that way. And then in terms of the duration of the study, 16 years is a huge amount of time, especially for, you know, a scientific research study like this, right? So if you, you know, look at most research, it takes place in, you know, maybe a couple weeks, a couple months, and you're missing, you know, obviously there's a lot of limitations there where in the long term, you may see more drastic effects that aren't really shown in that, you know, few weeks to a few months that, you know, and there's a lot of limitations with, you know, obviously studies take time and money, you know, to carry out. And when you have such a long study here, it just shows that there was, you know, a lot of resources being pooled into this idea. And that makes the results of the study even more reliable and more profound for the general population.
Right. So we just increase the validity when we increase the sample size and we increase the time frame. And just to kind of give you guys a perspective, when we talk about a lot of the research studies we see for improvements in muscular strength or size or endurance benefits, you know, as Logan kind of alluded to, a lot of those studies are taking place over the course of as short as 4 weeks, so just a month. And a long study, for the most part, is like 16 weeks in a research setting. So to see something that goes over the course of 16 years is just, it adds a lot to the validity of the outcomes within the study. So I just want to kind of dive into this idea of what does this say, maybe about the overall health of average individuals, if one time a week is such a vast improvement in decreases on all-cause mortality through cardiovascular disease risk reduction. Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? I mean, how does that sort of reflect on the average health of most individuals?
Right. I think, you know, essentially what you're alluding to is that the majority of people don't get enough exercise, right? So
that's exactly what I'm alluding to, Logan.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, these are going to be people who are, you know, untrained, haven't done aerobic or, you know, high intensity exercise before. And so they're going to respond in a more dramatic manner than, you know, people who are more highly trained in this regard. So basically what it's saying is, you know, if you haven't done, you know, much exercise throughout your lifespan, like just getting into once a week is going to have such profound effects for your health and your longevity. And I think that, you know, just speaks a lot to, you know, the general population, right?
So how does that sort of fit in with the DS paradigm that we have twice a week, 30 minutes? How does this overarching theme sort of help our clients, our listeners, or maybe people who've never been to a Discover Strength who are thinking about getting in for the first time?
Right. Yeah. So obviously efficiency is one of our three main, you know, focuses with our company, right? We want people who, you know, maybe they, a lot of people I think despise working out, right? And that's why they do it. They come to us, you know, 30 minutes twice a week. They're working out for an hour a week versus going to the gym 5-6 days a week for, you know, an hour and a half to 2 hours at a time. You're just spending more time doing things you actually like to do and minimizing the amount of time you're in the workout facility, getting a workout in, and you're still reaping a lot of benefits. So I think that ties in very well to our idea of how exercise should be conducted for the general population. And that, you know, obviously a single bout, one high intensity, you know, workout is exactly what kind of fits in with the Discover Strength paradigm for sure. And that, you know, most amount of benefits in the least amount of time. So.
Yeah, for sure. So you touched on a little bit this idea of outliers when we looked at that big study design. Now, for our few clients that do come in, and like you alluded to, again, a lot of people that come to Discover Strength, they come not necessarily because they despise exercise, right? But they don't know how to do it. They don't want to spend a lot of time at the gym. Now we have the opposite end of the spectrum completely as well, where people who we have to kind of pump the brakes on when they come in to Discover Strength. So talk to those people, talk to this idea of people who are just convinced they have to do 5, 10, 15, 20 hours of exercise per week. Why isn't more necessarily better when it comes to a high level of intensity that's being induced in the workout?
Right. I think what you're alluding to is, you know, the sense of it's very easy to cross over into the realm of overtraining with this type of exercise, right? So, you know, when, you know, in the Wislof study, you know, more exercise didn't have any effects because the more you do this high intensity exercise, your body just going to be struggling to recover more so than doing one bout and letting your body recover. Because we know that, especially with resistance training, when you break down the muscle tissue while you're working out, that's not where you're getting stronger. You're getting stronger in the recovery phase, getting, you know, adequate nutrition and sleep, those types of things. So same idea here. It's easy to cross into the overtraining aspect of things with this high intensity aerobic exercise as well. So.
Yeah, for sure. Such great points here. And while we're on this topic, let's kind of look at the other side of the equation, right? So we've seen these decreases in cardiovascular disease risk, which is obviously the number one killer of men and women across the world, right? So are you experiencing low back pain that continues to persist even though you've tried everything? research indicates the root cause of most back pain is due to deconditioning or lack of strength in the low back musculature. Unlike chiropractic, massage, and other passive therapies that treat the symptoms of low back pain, Medix Medical Low Back Therapy by Discover Strength is an active therapy, which means it treats the pain at its source. With just 2 sessions a week for 5 weeks, the Medix Medical Low Back Therapy will help you decrease pain levels, increase flexibility and mobility, and improve quality of life and independence. Schedule your free introductory session at our Chanhassen location today. What does the research say about other things that you can attain from this high level of intensity as far as improving your VO2 max, right? So maybe explain to us what VO2 max actually is, and then what the research says about how it correlates with all-cause mortality overall.
Right. So our VO2 max, which is aerobic capacity, just means how much oxygen you use aerobically while you exercise. So this VO2 max, the higher it is, the less likely you are to die from all causes. So it's inversely related to all cause mortality.
Awesome. So what does that have to do with the intensity of effort that we've talked about, right? If we want to improve VO2 max to decrease our chances of dying from all things, what does the research say? Should we be doing these really long bouts of continuous cardiovascular exercise, or is there something else out there? Logan, why don't you tell us what the research says?
For sure. Right. And kind of tying back to the interval training here. So the VO2 max, your VO2 max will not improve based on volume, duration, frequency of your aerobic or cardio exercise, right? So intensity is going to be the biggest factor that impacts how much you can improve this. And this was a study by Helgerud and some other authors from 2007, that intensity is going to be the biggest thing that improves your VO2 max in the long run, right? So kind of going back to the interval training, you need to do one bout at high intensity rather than, you know, a long steady state aerobic workout to reap the most amount of benefit with improving that VO2 max.
Yeah. And I think a lot of our runners, a lot of our aerobic athletes at Discover Strength will appreciate this idea that if you just go out and do your long endurance runs all the time, you're never really going to see improvements in your speed and your times. You have to do those sprints. You have to do those intervals and really push your cardiovascular capacity to its limit in order to be able to improve over the long term, right? And you can do this without adding the long continuous training. If all you're looking to do is improve your VO2 max to decrease all-cause mortality, you don't have to go out and run 20 miles and add some sprints and intervals in there. Just do the intervals, right? The research has shown that over and over again. Or in the case of strength training, just work with a significantly higher level of intensity. So what are some of the implications of this for our clients? What kind of training should they be doing if they decide that outside of Discover Strength, they want to do some traditional quote unquote cardio? What kind of recommendations would you give for those clients?
Right. So like we touched on, doing, you know, a 30-minute run at 5 miles an hour the whole time is not going to be the most bang for your buck in terms of improving that VO2 max. So essentially in a similar fashion to Discover Strength workouts, we want to do some high intensity interval training, right? And, you know, I think high intensity interval training has kind of been this blanket term in the fitness industry for a little bit now that everything has turned into HIIT essentially. And the biggest thing to remember is that your heart rate needs to be very highly elevated for it to be high intensity interval training, right? So whether it's doing, you know, maybe a 4 minute, you know, run or sprint at, you know, whatever relative speed compared to your max speed that might be. So 4 minutes on, maybe do 3 minutes of active recovery and you repeat that 4 times where your heart rate's getting elevated into that, you know, 80 to 100% range of your max heart rate. And then you're allowing it to come down. That's the type of training we're talking about where we need to get our heart rate into, you know, a high level of, you know, comparative to your max heart rate, and then let it come down in between and doing that, you know, 4 or 5 times. You know, it could be a 20-minute workout, right? 15, 20-minute workout where you're doing this high intensity interval training to really improve that VO2 max.
Yeah, and if we look back at the original McMaster studies that Martin Gabala kind of originated back in the day, the intervals that they were doing was even shorter, right? So for any of our exercise science majors out there who are familiar with a Wingate test, it's just a 30-second all-out effort on an ergometer, so just like a medical exercise bike, essentially. And all they did was 4 to 6 intervals, those 30-second all-out intervals, so 2 to 3 minutes of work per week. So they did that twice. So maybe 4 to 6 minutes of work with 4 minutes of active recovery in between, right? So 3 to 4 of those intervals, I mean, not a lot of actual work, right? The 30 seconds are the actual work. But if you've ever done a Wingate test before, you know, man, when you finish that thing, you just want to puke your guts out. So imagine doing that 2 to 6 times, right? Not very fun. But when we work with that high level of intensity, that's where we get those benefits. And there is just a plethora of different types of intervals these days. Gabala is a wonderful resource for that. For a more endurance trained athletes, things like Logan was talking about, those 4 minute intense intervals, but you can start with 10 seconds on and 20 seconds off, or 10 seconds on and a minute off. It really doesn't matter, as long as we're working, again, within that reasonably high range compared to what our overall max heart rate is, whatever that is for you when you're starting out. Now, if somebody's interested in maybe measuring their VO2 max or trying to figure out a way to see if they're improving, what would be your recommendation for sort of finding those things out, maybe without having to go through the route of, you know, contacting someone at the University of Minnesota in the exercise science department and getting strapped up to a machine, right? Are there other ways to sort of measure this over the long term?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, obviously, like you touched on, you can go, you know, get this tested professionally at a facility like the University of Minnesota. But if you're, you know, wearing a Fitbit, if you're wearing a Garmin, whatever watch you may use to measure heart rate, if you see a decrease in your resting heart rate, right? So maybe before it was 60 beats per minute, and now you're down to 56, 55, 54 over the course of time. That's one way that will really, you know, show you that your VO2 max is improving. It's probably the biggest, most applicable way for most people to look at that.
Yeah. And I think another really easy one that people often forget is just simply tracking your workouts, right? So if you are doing interval workouts and you are getting up to 90% of your heart rate the first time you do a workout, and you're struggling to get up to 80% the next time, even though you're working as hard as you can, probably means your VO2 max has improved, right? You
exactly
are doing more work at less heart rate volume, right? So let's talk about, if you have a higher VO2 max, is that 100% guarantee I'm going to live longer, right? Logan, if I've got an 80 VO2 milliliters of oxygen per minute, am I going to live forever, or how does that work?
Great question. Well, essentially in this study from Wislof, yes, it improves your cardiovascular health, right? And that, like you indicated, was, you know, the number one cause of death around the world is cardiovascular disease. So that just, essentially that's what this study is indicating. Now, if you have a higher VO2 max, you know, if you are walking past a building and a piano falls on you, that's not going to help you, right? So there are those situations where, you know, overall, you can't live forever by improving your VO2 max, but it will improve your longevity, and obviously decreasing that cardiovascular risk risk of cardiovascular disease will take away a lot of those factors and just overall improve your health and longevity, which obviously is what the study showed will improve that as well. So,
yeah. So, I mean, a lot of cool things that we see when you increase strength, when you increase cardiovascular capacity, you tend to improve your ability to live longer. But like you said, pianos are falling everywhere on people's heads these days. So you always have to know that there's a risk out there. Now, how could people use their strength training and interval training together to maybe create a more balanced exercise routine? I'm sure you get this question a lot. Should I be doing cardio outside of here? Just to sort of wrap this up, what might a well-rounded program for somebody look like if they're interested in strength training with Discover Strength, but also maybe doing some cardio, some interval training on their own to potentially decrease their risk of all-cause mortality?
For sure. What we tell most clients who, you know, there's people who have no interest in doing cardio and they think they need to be running outside of their Discover Strength workouts, if you look at your heart rate when you get off the leg press, for example, where you're working a ton of muscle tissue, that heart rate's going to be elevated enough to a level where you don't need to do more cardiovascular aerobic activity outside of your training to get enough of an effect. But if you have someone who's, you know, might be interested in improving both the strength and the VO2 max, that aerobic capacity, obviously rest is going to be the biggest thing that comes into it. So we don't want to do maybe a strength training session and a high intensity, you know, aerobic interval aerobic session on the same day. We need to make sure that we're still getting enough recovery and rest in between those sessions. Now, maybe it's, you know, a Monday workout, Tuesday you do an interval training session, maybe you rest Wednesday, you work out on, or resistance train on Thursday, another aerobic high intensity interval training session Friday, and then take the weekend off to rest again. I think that's a good structure where you're getting, you know, two really good resistance training workouts in and two high intensity interval training workouts in that will kind of give you a good mix with enough recovery as well. Because that recovery, like I touched on, is going to be the biggest indicator of how your strength training progresses, right? We need enough sleep. We need adequate nutrition, enough hydration, and just let your body rest and recover to get the maximal benefits for both of these things. So,
yeah, such an important point. And just kind of reiterating that idea that unfortunately more isn't always better, right? And we need that recovery. We need that time to actually let our body create the adaptations for all the exercise that we're doing. So Logan, just awesome points today. Thank you so much for joining us. Everyone, thank you guys so much for listening. Please like and subscribe to the podcast. And we're so excited to be back for another season. Everyone have a great rest of your day. We'll see you soon. Thanks, Logan.
Thank you.